A blessing to be here in this service this morning. We enjoyed the song service and appreciate that good humble prayer of my brother Jason as he led us to the throne of grace this morning, and I appreciate so much of that has gone before and what Brother Joe has told us. You know, it's amazing in those series of verses and giving that account, what a picture that paints. You know, Brother Joe has mentioned that place, Michmash. And if you look in a map, maybe in the back of your Bible, you'll find that if they were in Gibeah and the Philistines were in Michmash, I guess that's how you pronounce that, then they were between them and Bethel, the house of God. And even further to the north, Shiloh, where they'd go and worship the Lord, they were in between them and there. And what makes you go up the rough side of the mountain is when things are between you and getting to the house of God. Philistines didn't belong there. They weren't Israelites. That wasn't their land. They had come and invaded the Israelites' land. And I find that sometimes there are things that try to hinder you from coming to the house of God. And I remember a deacon brother at Midland Creek with Alfred Cothran, he one Sunday said he had the devil all over him trying to keep him from getting there this morning, but he made it. He was glad that he made it. And Brother Joe was talking about Jonathan and his armor bearer and Jesus being our armor bearer. I'd like to give you another perspective on that too. I see Jonathan on that occasion being a great picture of Jesus Christ and for us to be his armor bearer. You know, Ephesians 6 has put on the whole armor of God. It's his armor, and we carry it. We should carry it. And I find that the Bible teaches, like Jesus carried his cross, but Simon, the Cyrenian, carried it behind him, that I find that that's our labor, is that we go behind him. We labor together with Christ. And Jonathan went there slaying, and the armor bearer was slaying behind him. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus, because Saul and the rest of the people were just sitting still, and the Philistines are being defeated. By who? By one man and his armor bearer. What a blessing to be a part of the work of Jesus Christ, as we see that the Lord has called us to be in the New Testament. May we never let the enemies of God, the devil, keep us from being where we need to be and allow things to come in that don't belong here. They don't belong in our house. They don't belong in the house of God. And as we think about this, I'd like to turn with you to Psalm 48 and notice some things recorded on this occasion. There's another mountain, a mountain that's described in this psalm, a mountain that is a picture of the church of Jesus Christ. This psalm begins, Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Beautiful for situation. "The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King, God is known in her palaces for a refuge." Now, this psalm is describing Mount Zion. How beautiful it is. How great the Lord is. And how greatly to be praised that the Lord is here in Mount Zion. But the verse I'd like to look at with you this morning is beginning in verse 8. It says, "As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah." I'm kind of like Brother Joe this morning. I had something I've been studying the past couple days, but it's gone now. And this is what I got this morning. Here in verse 8, he says, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, and God will establish it forever." Now notice he says, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city." Now, you know, A lot's been said already this morning about the things that we've heard. Even Brother Jason prayed in his prayer, and I'm right there with Brother Jason. I want to know the truth. I want to know what is true, but you just hear all kinds of conflicting reports. So we don't necessarily, in the world, we don't see things that we've heard all the time. I remember I had a teacher in school. He said he believed nothing that he heard and half of what he saw. I don't know if that's a good rule to live by or not, but, you know, you can't believe everything you hear. You'll be a gullible person. People are going to take advantage of you if you believe everything you hear. Don't go to a car dealership and don't go to some of these other places. They'll take advantage of you if you believe everything you hear. Well, that's not the way it is in the city of God. He says here, as we have heard, so have we seen. That means you can believe what you hear in this city. You can believe what you hear because you'll see it for yourself. Turn me to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I want to notice with you an account that we find here of someone who traveled a long distance to see whether what she heard was right or not. That's the Queen of Sheba. She heard, you can 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 1, she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and came to prove him with hard questions. Now, don't ask me any hard questions. I remember there was this fellow at my work. He told me this riddle, and he said, "I'm going to see if you're as good as so-and-so." They got it within two guesses. Well, 10 guesses later, I still hadn't got it. I just never did get it. I came home and told Jamie, and she got it right away. Ask her the hard questions. Don't ask me. Well, anyway, she had hard questions. And she wanted to test his wisdom, test his ability to answer. And she came and told her, according to verse 3, all her questions. She told him all her heart, and he had the answers. Now, wouldn't you like to be around someone who has all the answers? Any question you might have, they have all the answers, and they're always right. Man, that would be something. I mean, when she saw his wisdom, notice verse 4. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom. And notice, it's describing what she's seen. She had only heard, but now it's saying what she has seen. Notice what she sees. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." She said, "It's even better than what I heard. I hadn't even heard the half of the story. It was better than what I had heard." Now, I want you to consider for a moment that Jesus himself declared when he was here on this earth to the people he was talking to. He says, "The queen of the south, the Queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment of this generation, for she came from the uttermost parts of the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Look how far she traveled. I think I've mapped it one time, and it is over 1,000 miles. That's a long way to go on a camel. It's a long way to go in a car. It can be a long way to go on an airplane. But she went that far on a camel to come and see the wisdom of Solomon. And you know what Jesus said? "A greater than Solomon is here." I'll tell you, as great as Solomon was, his fame, his riches, his wisdom, we have a greater than Solomon here. We have Jesus Christ. He is a greater than Solomon. And as we hear these things of what Jesus has done, I'm going to tell you, the half is not being told to you. You're not hearing the half of how great Jesus is. You're not hearing the half of how rich he is or how glorious and majestic he is. You're not even hearing the half of it here on this life. We're doing the best we can with what the Word of God and the Lord himself reveals to us. But you're not hearing the half of it. I promise you, you're not. Until you see him face to face, you're not hearing the half of it. But here in Zion, I can tell you this. When you come to the house of God and hear the Word of God declare to you, you can believe what you're hearing because you're going to see it for yourself. Notice as she goes on in this description. She says in verse 8, "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." I'll tell you, it makes a person happy to hear a man speak with wisdom. Have you ever heard someone speak with ignorance? Oh, that'll make you mad. You'll get upset when you hear that. But if you hear someone who's speaking with wisdom, oh, that'll make you happy. I'll tell you, the Lord in Jesus Christ, according to Colossians 2:3, in Him are hid all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. Happy are these men. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made He thee king to do judgment and justice. We're going to have to move on, but there's a whole lot more in that. Turn me into the New Testament. I'd like to notice with you an account here in John chapter 4, where we find Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at a well. And He tells her many things, and boy, it'd be wonderful to get into all the details of the things they discussed, but we don't have time for that this morning. But whenever He talks to her and gets through talking to her and started telling her things that that only the Lord would know, because he had just met her, she marveled and said in verse 25, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He'll tell us all things." Now, she had heard something, that Messiah was coming. The Anointed One is coming, called Christ. And Jesus says, "I that speak unto thee am He." And then His disciples come back. "But she left her water pot and went her way into the city," verse 29, and now she's telling something. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Notice she has talked to Him, visited with Him. And now she's gone back to her people. And what does she see? What does she say? "Come see a man. Come and see." I'll tell you, the best thing that we can do is tell people, just come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and see the Lord when He powerfully blesses the man to preach the gospel and the secrets of your heart are made manifest. Come see the power in that. Come see the Lord do His miraculous work even in this daytime when we worship the Lord together. You know, there are some things you just cannot replace. There are some things you'll miss out on if you're not there. But she said, "Come see a man." I remember the time when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and He appeared to all His disciples. But one of them was missing, named Thomas. And whenever they told Him about it, they told Him, we were with the Lord. He says, "I won't believe that. I won't believe that until I touch my finger and the print of the nails in His hands and I thrust my fist inside. I won't believe unless I do that." Well, the next time they met, He was there and He believed. I'll tell you, it's a blessing to come to the house of God, because I don't want to miss out on something. I want to miss out on a time to meet with my Lord. But she said, "Come see a man. Come and see." You know, sometimes people are very skeptical by nature, very, you know, doubtful. In John chapter 1, we find Philip finds Nathanael. You know, my brother was named after that verse there in John 1. But Philip finds Nathanael. That's my brother's middle name, Nathanael. And he says, "Come and see. We have found Him that the Bible declares about the Messiah is coming." He says, "Jesus of Nazareth." You know what Nathanael said? He was skeptical. He says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I mean, it didn't have a good reputation. "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" He just said, "Come and see." And he came and he found out when he met with Jesus that Jesus saw him coming and says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." And Nathanael says, "How do you know me? I've never met you before." He says, "Before Philip called you and you were under that fig tree, I saw you." And you know what Nathanael said? "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of God." Now, why did he have that response for that? I don't know exactly. But I know this. The Lord told him about something that only he and the Lord knew about. I'll tell you, that's what we tell when we say, "Come and see." You can get into Bible discussions with people and try to convince them of our doctrine and our practice and all these things. But I'll tell you, the best thing you can tell them is just come and see for yourself. Come and see and experience this. You know, I've talked to people who've come from different orders, and they're very precious to us in the church today, and I could call them by name, but they'll describe a time when they started coming to the Lord's church. After a few times of coming, one time they came, and just their eyes were open, and now they could see things that they couldn't see before. I'll tell you, this woman goes into Samaria and tells them, come see a man. And they went out and they communed with Jesus for several days. And then they said this in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now they're hearing the wisdom of the one that's greater than Solomon. And this is what they say in verse 42 unto the woman. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now they had this experience because they first heard and then they saw. I'll tell you, it's a great blessing here in the house of God that you can hear things. And I'll just tell you, go ahead and believe them. They come from the Word of God. Go ahead and believe them, even if they seem far-fetched, because you're going to see this fulfilled in your life. As Brother Joe declared unto us the battle that Jonathan won, who would have ever thought that one man in his armor bearer killing 20 men would just destroy the whole host, basically? Who would ever think that? But what did Jonathan say? His faith was strong. It says, the Lord's not restrained to save with many or with few. The Lord can just save with a few people. Don't ever think that one person can't make a difference. He can, because we're here this morning because one person did make a difference, and that's Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it doesn't take a great number in order to make a difference. It just takes the power of God in that number. And here in Mark chapter 5, we find another account of a time where there's one man, like that Samaritan woman, who makes a difference, and the message is so much the same. This man we call the wild Gadarene. And we find that Jesus healed him of the legion of devils that were inside of him. And he had this desire, and I find this so fascinating when I think about it. When all the pigs, you know the account, they all jumped off the cliff and were drowned in the sea, and all the people besought Jesus that he'd leave them, to get away from them. You know, it's nothing new today that people don't want God around. I mean, I remember one time we had some children playing at my mom's house. And I went in there in the room where they were and just seeing what they were doing. And one of the older ones said, can you please leave? I said, well, why? I'm not hurting anything. They just didn't want me watching. They wanted to have the freedom to do whatever they want to. I'll tell you, you don't want the authority around. Hey, you know, we can understand this. If you're ever driving down the highway, you don't really want the police around, do you? I mean, looking and seeing how you're driving, you don't necessarily want that around. You want to have the freedom to do what you want. Well, I'll tell you, people don't want the Lord around when he hits their pocketbook by doing what he has done. He's healed this man, but they lost all their pigs. And so they tell him to leave. Well, when he came into the ship, in verse 18 of Mark 5, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with him. And Jesus told him no. You know, your prayers are not always going to be answered the way you want them to be. But the Lord knows what's best. Notice verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, and this is wonderful language, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. He tells him, go tell your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Tell them how. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. If there's something that we should be talking about, is there anything better than telling folks how great the Lord has been for you? I'll tell you, you hear of things that take place in the Bible, and you hear these things in the Lord's house. But I'll tell you, what a wonderful blessing to experience them in your own life and to see the hand of God working in your life. I can tell you stories about our life and the things that have transpired that only the Lord could have been in that. Only the Lord could have made these things happen. And yet, we all have those experiences. Well, this man goes and he says in verse 20, he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. They're hearing this and they're just marveling. They're wondering at what this man is telling them. And Jesus came back. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Does one man make a difference? Oh, yes. The Lord blesses that man. He makes a difference. Jonathan, does one man make a difference? I'll tell you, it doesn't matter whether there's many or few. What matters is what's being told. And he's telling them how great things the Lord has done for him. And when he comes over there and the people gather unto him, verse 22, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him. Now, he had heard from the wild Gadarean, but now he sees Jesus. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He's praying the Lord would come and heal his daughter. Can you imagine having a daughter who is sick and about to die, and there's nothing you can do to help her? What a helpless feeling. You know, it's a helpless, we get in these helpless places where we're just not able to do anything to help. But I'm thankful to tell you that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we're praying to one that can do things that we think are impossible. We're going to one who, in fact, he was trying to hurry up and get Jesus to his house because she was about to die, hadn't died yet, but they felt like if she didn't die, it was over. And she did die. They said, trouble not the master. Your daughter's dead. Well, it's too late now. It's over. But it wasn't over. Because Jesus goes to his house and raises her from the dead. Now, I'm telling you, we're reading these things. And we're saying, well, this is interesting, but when does this happen today? Oh, it has happened today. There have been people who have passed away. And not much longer, they come back to life. How did that happen? By the power of God. I tell you, I could point you to people that have had that experience. But I'll tell you, when the point is, what we hear and what we read in the Word of God, you can believe it. It's not like what you find on Google or on Facebook. You can believe this. This is the truth. As you hear, so have you seen in the house, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. Our God. I'll tell you, it's a blessing to be a part of the city of God where we hear. You know, we don't have television here, but what we hear here in this place, we see it also in our life. We see it all around us. And what a blessing to have those experiences, but to see the power of God working in our life. But it's a blessing. There is so much more in this, but we'll close here for time's sake. That we have been blessed with the eyes to see, the ears to hear, some things that are eternal, some things that are beyond this world. And may the Lord help us in this place to hear those things and see those things. And I thank you for your good attention this morning.